Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Good evening and welcome to Amplify, a program that offers a look at life from both a sacred and secular perspective. And I'm Father Ron Lengwin, and I'm hoping you have felt the warmth of God's love in your life this day, especially the joy you feel when you share that love, God's love, with others. And let us do that on this Memorial Weekend through prayer. Share God's love with others, especially those who are involved in saving our country in so many ways and gave their life for it. And as we do each week, I'd like to begin our program with a story that is based on faith and formed with imagination. It's by a friend after she reflected on sacred scripture. And I always do this because I hope that it will help you to focus your heart and mind on the topic we'll be discussing this evening, whatever you were watching or listening to or doing beforehand. Just try to gather your attention. Story of Faith and Imagination. A crowd gathered around Jesus, listening to his wisdom and receiving the strength he gave to people in trying times. After the crowd had dispersed, a young man came up to Jesus, fell on his knees, bowed his head to the ground. Jesus looked with great sadness at the young man. You could tell that the young man's eyes were filled with tears. His body seemed to be filled with pain. It shook all over. Peter quickly hobbled over to him and said, "Stand, get up." Jesus extended his hand to the young man and said, "My son, do not honor me in such a way, for I am but a humble servant. I speak the words of my Father, but you too can learn them if your heart is open and filled with love." The man looked straight into Jesus' eyes and said, "I wish I had the knowledge you possess, also your understanding and kindness. But all I have is the ability to write down your words." Jesus smiled gently and asked, Why do you wish to write my words? Can you not remember them? Again, the young man looked straight at Jesus, and with great determination in his voice said, I shall write down your words. For it is my wish that when I am gone, every man, woman, and child will feel and experience your wisdom and love as I have. Then the young man started to bow down again. Jesus grabbed him by the shoulders and said, No, do not humble yourself before me. Go to the temple and ask the Father for his blessing and wisdom, so that others may read my words that you have written, understand them, and never forget them. A story of faith and imagination. The title of the book that we're going to be looking at this evening is titled Breaking the Bread, A Biblical Devotion for Catholics. There are two authors. One of them is going to be with us, and I'd like to, before I introduce him, read from the introduction to the book. What the great rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch said of his co-religionists is just as true of mine. The Catechism of the Jew, he said, is the calendar. It is in the prescribed readings for synagogue and home that God's chosen people learn about his works and ways. It is through the individual feast days that they learn the stories and the overarching story of salvation history. Thus, every year unfolds as a succession of lessons, not only in history, but in personal and collective identity. We remember the marvels the Lord has done, and we remember who we are in relation to him. This is the way of biblical religion. It is the way of all our ancestors in the Catholic faith. It is the way every generation has passed God's revelation to their children and grandchildren. In the modern era, we've recovered an ancient Greek term to describe the process. We call it catechesis. But the process itself has developed down the centuries. For millennia, our ancestors had no access to books, and most of them could not read. There were no printing presses or other media available. The word catechesis literally meant instruction by word of mouth. And indeed, the word most people heard was viva voce. Today, we have a superabundance of media. We can use online audio and video, and even books, to learn the truths of doctrine and the facts of sacred history. And yet, the primary way we hand on and receive the revelation of God is still by word of mouth. One of the authors of the book is with us, and it's Ken. His name is Ken O'Gorick. He's the Executive Director of the Secretariat for Evangelizing Catechesis for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. He served here previously in the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. And Ken, I can't believe it. The last time that I interviewed you was in March of 2008. That seems so long ago. Glad to have you back.
And it's wonderful spending time with all of your listeners as well.
Yes. And tell us a little bit about Scott Hahn, just so we can bring him on board so people would... Well, there's a lot of people who know him. I used to interview him periodically and be involved with different programs when I was a little bit younger.
Yeah, I have to chuckle when I think about people picking up the book, Breaking the Bread, and saying, oh, Scott has a new book out. Who the heck is Ken O'Gorick? Because Scott, of course, is a very well-known and for good reason Catholic author, speaker, professor. I would say the main thing I would love people to know about Scott, though, is how kind he is. And an example is this three-book series that we're collaborating on together. You know, we were introduced through a mutual friend, and he thought it might be nice to sort of put our heads together, our heads and hearts together, I should say, and produce this devotional. But yeah, Scott is very well known. You're absolutely right, and again, for good reason.
Let's tell us a little bit about your book. It's year three of A, B, and C. You can explain what that means to our audience a little bit. How it's designed to be used and what you hope to accomplish through it.
Sure. It's funny, Father Ron. It's called a biblical devotional for Catholics. I like to point out, though, it's not just for Catholics.
Right.
One of the main reasons it has that subtitle is that the book is based on the 3-year cycle of Sunday Mass readings. As you just said, we've got 3 years worth of Sunday Mass readings. Very cleverly called years A, B, and C. Yes. And so that really forms the basis or the framework for each week's brief few pages of food for thought, prayer, and reflection. So it's I like to say that, you know, as Catholics, we focus on both sacred scripture and sacred tradition, the teaching of the church. Of course, sacred scripture has pride of place, but I like to say that this devotional really helps connect dots between sacred scripture and sacred tradition. So you've got the Sunday Mass readings listed there, and hopefully that'll be the first thing people will do is use their Bible or an app or a website of some sort to read the Sunday Mass readings. Then Scott has several paragraphs of really nice commentary and reflection on the readings, and he does a masterful job of connecting the readings to each other. You know, at Mass, mm-hmm. at Sunday Mass, there's typically an Old Testament reading, a reading from one of the epistles, usually St. Paul, and then, of course, a gospel reading. And Scott just does a great job, not in an overly academic or scholarly way in this book, although he's certainly capable of doing that. So he really helps the reader kind of dig into the readings themselves. Then I chime in each week with usually 2 points of basic doctrinal or moral teaching that connect to the readings themselves. A couple of reflection questions, one that's a little more personal, one that has to do with my role in the community. And then each week ends with, and I had a blast writing these, each week ends with just a nice little prayer, you know, sometimes directly to the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, but oftentimes an intercessory prayer where we're asking a particular saint maybe to pray for us in a special way. And yes, that kind of does it. That's kind of the basic framework of the book, Father Ron.
And this would be something that could prepare you going to Mass or to whatever service you're going to. Like you say, it's not just for Catholics. And the readings, for example.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, the way most people use the book is at some point during the week, they'll just sit down in a quiet place in their prayer space or their reading space or what have you. And yeah, they'll prepare themselves for Mass that following weekend by kind of giving themselves a preview, if you will, of what they're going to hear. And then again, the two little questions each week, they're fun to reflect on prayerfully in preparation for Mass, but then having been at Mass, having heard a homily, having received our Lord Jesus in the Blessed Eucharist, folks tell me oftentimes that they'll use those questions to kind of have a little conversation, maybe either at coffee and donuts afterwards, or maybe in the car on the way home.
So I would read today from the book. Today's liturgy gives us a profound meditation on the nature and meaning of the church. And those who've been to church will remember. The church is one in agreement with the whole church. The church is holy, taught and guided by the Spirit that Jesus promises the apostles in the gospel. The church is Catholic. This is with a small c, or universal, making known God's ways of salvation to all people. And the church, as John sees in the second reading, is apostolic, founded on the 12 apostles. And you write, or it's not you, Scott's, the liturgy's message today is that the church is the Lord's, watched over and guarded by the advocate, the the Holy Spirit by the Father in the name of the Son. In the church, we are called to love Jesus through our keeping of his word, ever rejoicing that he and the Father and the Spirit have made their dwelling with us. So he talks about the role, or writes about the role of the Holy Spirit. And you have two questions then. Taking a look at my life, what seems to be my gifts and charisms? How might I encourage others to develop their own gifts and charisms? So those are my correction, or my questions to you.
You know, I have grown to appreciate charisms much more deeply in recent years than maybe I did when I was younger, for one reason or another.
Let me say this: someone may not know what a charism is. You should probably say a little bit about that.
Yeah, you read my mind, Father Ron. So charisms are special gifts given to the baptized by the Holy Spirit. They're similar in some ways to talents and strengths and abilities and so forth, but a charism is given for the express purpose of benefiting the community. So when I use one or more of my charisms, not only does it give me joy and just a sense of fulfillment, but I'm hopefully helping to build up the body of Christ. So every person listening right now who's baptized has at least one charism, perhaps more than one. But it's helpful and important, I think, to discern with the help of others, usually, you know, what is that gift, that specific gift that the Holy Spirit has given me, and how can I use that to help build up others, to help build up the body of Christ?
Amplify a little bit on the fact that the Holy Spirit has a major role to play in each Christian's life as well as the life of the church.
Yeah, you know, I love there's a traditional prayer to the Holy Spirit that talks about renewal and knowing what's right, being truly wise, and also being comforted. So I often say to myself, actually, it's never a question of whether the Holy Spirit is present or has the ability to refresh and renew us, guide our decisions, comfort us in our afflictions, and that he really wants to do these things. We just, and again, I say this to myself, we just need to be reminded once in a while. So the Holy Spirit, he's in some ways he's our biggest fan. He's our biggest supporter. He wants so much to help us through life. Helping us have the energy and joy that we need to live life fully, to make good decisions. And also, again, we're going to have crosses. We know that. So we often need comfort in our time of affliction. And actually, one of the titles of the Holy Spirit, we say the Comforter. So being aware of the Holy Spirit's presence, power, and desire in our life can really make a big difference, to say the least.
And you can see what I'm doing here. I took the readings for today, and now we're talking about the ones for next week. And now I'd like to just work through as far as we get, and then people will have hopefully will have a good sense of how it is this is something that could help to inspire them, to prepare them before they even go to Mass, or to remind them and to see perhaps even a little deeper meaning after they come back from Mass, and not necessarily that day or any time in between.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what does it mean to say that Jesus is praying for us to the gospel when we talk about the seventh week, and that we renew our vows in every Mass and come forward to receive the gift of his life?
Well, Jesus, as we know, is constantly interceding for us at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We owe him, in a sense, our love, our fidelity, and really every Mass is an opportunity to renew that commitment. At Sunday Mass, we recite the Creed, sort of referenced earlier by talking about the four marks of the church. We remind ourselves every Sunday, really, just who and what the church is. So, yeah, every Sunday is an opportunity to just again, to be renewed, refreshed, and to recommit ourselves to having that personal disciple relationship with Jesus that he invites us to, and living that relationship in full communion with his body, with his mystical body, the church. I always like to put those two things together, that a personal disciple relationship with Jesus, the authentic Jesus, I should say, of sacred scripture and sacred tradition, but we live that relationship most fully when it's in full communion with his mystical body, the Holy Catholic Church.
And if we were paying attention to the readings today, we'd remember that Jesus prayed that we may all be one, and that sometimes people mistake unity for uniformity, and I'm reading from the book, as if we should all be cookie cutter images of each other. When love is allowed to guide our relationships, we are truly united as his body. And to read just a little bit further, what I'm going to do is wait, because we just have less than a minute before I need to take my first break. I'm going to come to your question whenever we come back from the break. But make no mistake about it, God's name is to be considered as very special. It is not to be used improperly, period. This would seem to be an overly harsh way of stating God wishes, if not for the fact that so often we hear irreverent treatment of his name. This is considering this, a reminder seems like a good idea, and a bit of additional information of those names of close relationship to God. So let's take this break, and when we come back, we'll deal with your question. Welcome back to Amplify, where our guest this evening is Ken O'Gorick. He and Scott Hahn have written a book titled Breaking the Bread. It's a biblical devotional helping us to be more spiritually sensitive to the readings that we hear at the celebrations we attend in church. Let's jump right to the questions that you have raised, Ken. What evidence in my community shows that in some ways the world does not know God? How might I work with love so that his name will be made known, and still one other? What functions do I fulfill in the body of Christ?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and preface my answer with a brief explanation of perhaps why those two questions, which are related to two catechism quotes, show up in this coming week's readings. So I mentioned earlier that there's a 3-year cycle of Sunday Mass readings. So that's roughly 160 sets of Mass readings. There's also a specific checklist, if you will, that the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops uses to determine what's called doctrinal conformity to the Catechism of the Catholic Church in catechetical resources, like a textbook series, for example. So what I did in preparation for this book was, and this sounds really nerdy, but hey, it's who I am. I correlated that checklist, which is about 330, 340 items. I correlated it with a 3-year cycle of Sunday gospel readings, because I wanted to make sure that over the course of 3 years, not only did the reader get an enormous dose of sacred scripture, but also that each basic doctrinal and moral teaching of the church shows up as food for thought and prayer in these reflections, in this devotional. So again, just that preface. So those those two paragraphs, these are all in brief items from the catechism. One is about unity and diversity. And I loved what you said earlier about unity is sometimes mistaken for uniformity. And of course, another in brief item has to do with respecting and honoring God's name. So the words of Jesus in the gospel, where of course he's praying for unity, and he also refers to God the Father as righteous Father. So that was just an opportunity then to touch on those specific items from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Regarding the first question, what functions do I fulfill in the body of Christ? It kind of relates to what we were talking about earlier, Father Ron. What are our gifts from the Holy Spirit meant to build up the body of Christ? And we all have different roles to play. And as you know, and you've personally experienced, I know sometimes in the course of our life, we're called on to play different roles, to fulfill different functions. I was a happy high school theology teacher, yes, you know, 30 years ago, but now I find myself in more of an administrative role, a leadership role in the church. So we all have different roles to play. They're all important. You know, life's a team sport, right? And good teams rely on role players. And then what evidence in my community shows that in some way the world does not know God, our righteous and holy Father? And I think the follow-up question is very important. How might I work with love so that his name will be made known? Every culture has within it truth, goodness, beauty. We should acknowledge those things, celebrate them, use them to spread the gospel. But every culture is also in need of some purification. And you know, we don't have to read the headlines 20 days in a row to see that there are some folks who aren't living their lives as fully in alignment with God's loving will as they could be or should be. And hopefully we can be an example that inspires them and maybe encourages them to ask us what our secret is, if you will. And that's a great opportunity to share the love of Jesus with our friends and neighbors.
What does it mean to say that we have that week is a solemnity? It's like the solemnity of the Ascension is coming up in 2 weeks, followed by Pentecost, and the solemnity of the Holy Trinity, and the solemnity of the most holy body and blood of Christ. What's a solemnity?
Well, it's interesting, Father Ron. You know, sometimes that word solemn is connected with sort of being somber, you know, just very serious. And I would say in church language, a solemnity, it's a seriously holy day. So of course every Sunday is a special holy day, but a solemnity really focuses on a special feast, a special event, usually in the life of Christ. So it's an opportunity for us to sort of ramp up, I guess, our joy and our devotion a little bit. It's interesting. There are solemnities that fall on weekdays sometimes too. And we're actually, in a sense, supposed to treat those days as if they were Sundays. They're just special holy days, not always holy days of obligation, as we say, but certainly special holy days. It's just like a family. I really like the part of the introduction to the book that you read, Father Ron, just the importance of the church calendar, the liturgical year. Just like a family, we have special days, special occasions, special anniversaries sometimes that we want to pause and sort of break the routine and celebrate and thank and praise God for. So we have those in the church as well in the form of solemnities.
Why don't we go this way? Instead of me working one by one, we're not going to cover too many that way. There may be some that we're going to miss. Why don't you select, as long as you tell me which one it is, the ones that you would like to address? Wherever the Spirit moves you, whether it's a solemnity or something like Pentecost or any of the Sundays, maybe there's something that just comes to you in some form of inspiration, and I can work right along with that.
Sure. You know, without flipping flipping or scrolling too far ahead, I think about the solemnity that you just mentioned a moment ago, and that is the Most Holy Trinity, Trinity Sunday, as we call it. That's coming up here in just a few short weeks. Mm-hmm. And Father, as you were reflecting briefly on the church earlier and those signs and marks of the church, one, Holy Catholic and Apostolic, it made me think of how special this year is. Again, I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but this is the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea, where we essentially get the creed, right? That very important summary and articulation of how we know who God is, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So yeah, let's maybe look at that at Trinity Sunday, if that's okay.
Okay, and let's talk about your question. How can I live out my baptismal promises in my day-to-day life after I've read in the Holy Spirit, we come to know that we will find peace and union in God, that we will share the life of the Trinity and dwell in God as he dwells in us. There's a lot to say there, and then you follow that up with a question.
Yeah, if we're on the same page here.
Page 166 and 167.
Yeah. A couple of my questions are some of the questions are meant just to provide information that people might not be aware of. But the sacrament of baptism is so important that even though the ordinary minister of baptism, of course, is a priest or a deacon, that in an emergency situation, really anyone can baptize. So long as there's reason to believe the person desires baptism, and again the proper prayer is used and water is used. So that question there, what circumstances might make it necessary for me to conduct a baptism? Again, that might seem like an odd question, but it's really just a reminder to people of how important baptism is. And really just to, I guess, in a way, to be prepared, because you just never know. It's that important. I know people in the medical profession sometimes find themselves in a situation like that. As I said, there's two questions every week. The first one is a little bit more personal, sort of my personal faith, my personal relationship with God, which, of course, is always communal as well. But then the second question really tends to flesh that out more fully. It has to do with my role in the community. So to ask that question, who in my community has not been baptized, and how might I help bring this person closer to the sacrament that is our ordinary means of salvation? Father, this makes me think of the Great Commission, right? As Jesus is ascending to the Father, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Baptism is so important. But I wonder sometimes, you know, does everyone in our neighborhood, does everyone in our community know what baptism is, know why it's so important, and know that they're invited? They're invited to pursue baptism if they feel so inclined. You know, we've heard the same story so many times. I'm sure you have as well, Father, and many of your listeners. The spouse of a practicing Catholic who isn't Catholic himself or herself comes faithfully to Mass, you know, every week, accompanies the spouse to various Catholic functions, and then at an elderly age seemingly suddenly decides to enter the catechumenate and pursue baptism. And oftentimes someone will ask, well, why after all these years, why did you wait so long? And what does the person often say? We hear it all too often. Nobody ever asked me. Nobody ever invited me. So that second question, again, is really meant to help us really think about, you know, are there people in our lives who truly don't know what baptism is, or maybe more to the point, why it matters, how important it is, and that they're invited, that they're welcome to pursue it if they feel called and if they so choose.
Right, and that there are ordinary means of salvation makes it not seem perhaps as difficult at as first glance for someone who's not familiar with the faith. But every section, then, you not only have two questions, there's also a prayer. Have you developed those prayers, or have you looked them up somewhere?
Well, I have to say, I did write those prayers.
Okay.
And really, it was such a blessing. Those prayers were sort of the icing on the cake, sort of the final piece of writing that we did, you know, before each year's year A, B, and C would go into layout and so forth. And by the way, year A is coming out. It'll be out in time for Advent this year. We kind of went out of order. That's just the way the publishing schedule works.
Yes.
We came out with year B first, sort of like the creamy filling first, and now we're doing the two crunchy cookies. You know, so we're in year C, and year A will be available by Advent. But so I was blessed to be able to write the prayers at the end of each week. Sort of as one big batch for each mm-hmm. year. And what a wonderful, it was just such a blessing for me. It was a prayerful experience in and of itself because as you might imagine, I would just go through each week's readings and really just try to be open to, you know, was there a specific saint, who came to my mind for some reason. And again, I would like to think that the Holy Spirit maybe had a little bit to do with sort of guiding my thoughts and feelings. So some of the prayers are directly to one or more persons of the Blessed Trinity. But yeah, a lot of the prayers are intercessory prayers, asking a specific saint maybe to pray for a specific aspect of our life that has something to do with the readings and the questions of that week. But it was fun to write those prayers, Father.
I'm sure it was. And I like it gives so much meaning. If someone's looking for kind of a spiritual jolt, there's questions that get your mind working, and there's prayers that get your heart, your very soul working also. So, It's really a nice way of dealing with each Sunday, each and every Sunday, for 3 years.
Yeah, and you know we've mentioned a couple times that we certainly have non-Catholic friends listening to this broadcast, of course, and so it's one thing to talk about readings that will be that you'll hear at Mass every Sunday, but really. Anyone who's interested in reading the Bible in sort of a thematic way, it's real easy to find online, especially like what readings are going to be read at Sunday Mass. So again, even some of our non-Catholic friends who are listening to this broadcast, I would really encourage you to look at that 3 years cycle of Sunday Mass readings, and it's a great way to work your way through the Bible, just week in and week out, and just really get that great overview over the course of the year of the life of our Lord, including the major events of his life, of course, the incarnation, the nativity, his passion, death, and resurrection. It's just a great way to stay close and grow closer to Jesus.
Good. So where would you like to go next?
Well, you know, maybe I'll pause here briefly.
Sure.
To really make a general comment, if you will, that hopefully will become fleshed out as we continue on this evening. When I was younger, I don't think I appreciated as deeply as I do now how often our Lord will speak to us in a direct and personal way mm-hmm. when we're reflecting on sacred scripture and even sacred tradition, you know, the basic doctrinal and moral teaching of the church. So one hope that Scott and I have with this devotional is, yes, it's a wonderful way, as I've said one or two times already, to sort of connect some dots and to really fill our minds and hearts with good information and important feelings that will help draw us closer to our Lord. But we also hope that somewhere in the mix of all this, in that personal disciple relationship we have with Jesus, that folks will really hear our Lord speaking into their life, you know, speaking to them, as I say, in a direct and personal way. So no matter what week it is, we hope that, you know, by God's grace and mercy, that'll be something that happens with folks who use this resource.
Right. It could well be that God will move them because of the circumstances in their life to a particular week that will be very meaningful and helpful to them, too.
So for sure.
That happens many times.
Absolutely.
Next, where might we look at something else now?
I'm flipping and scrolling. I mentioned Advent earlier. Mm-hmm. So I actually might, even though Advent is behind us, it's Advent that really starts each year of, or I should say each volume of the three volume set. So I find myself wanting to maybe go back to the beginning of this liturgical year. And I'm scrolling as fast as I can. I'm actually on my phone.
Okay, while you're doing that, it's on page 7. Let me read something that is written. There's a deliberate tension in the next 4 weeks' readings. It's beginning the first week of Advent, the first Sunday in the book, between promise and fulfillment, expectation and deliverance, looking forward and looking back. Today's psalm sounds the theme of Israel's ancient expectation, quote, "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and for you I wait all the day." We look back on Israel's desire and anticipation, knowing that God has already made good on those promises by sending his only Son into the world.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And there is that tension between enjoying the life we live, but Advent is always a reminder that, you know, our earthly pilgrimage is relatively short, right? And the Lord will come again in glory, as He came to us at the first Christmas. He'll come again in glory. So I know that. The very first reflection, the two doctrinal and moral teachings that were chosen for that particular week, the first one really talks just reminding us that history will I'm reading here will draw history as we know it to a conclusion, you know. So it's just an opportunity for us, again, not in a morbid way, but just to remind ourselves again to be thankful for the earthly life we're given, but know that it's not the end, right? We have to live our lives on a trajectory, if you will, hopefully to eternal life in heaven with God.
And this section deals, of course, with virtues as good habits of thought and action that we can work to acquire, and then. Your questions, we only have like a minute, so we're not going to be able to get into this very deeply. But the questions that you're asking us under the heading of Psalm 85, show us, Lord, your love and grant us your salvation. And you ask, how do the anxieties of daily life affect my heart? What might I do to help lessen their impact? It's like it's something very, very practical. It's something with which we all deal. And then you ask, everyone has values. Even a thief values the money they steal. Virtues go beyond values because they are objectively good. How might I help members of my community to better understand virtues? So we only have half a minute now, so I want to get you started here. But your prayer is, Heavenly Father, I know that you always keep your promises. Help me this Advent to grow in virtue as I prepare to celebrate the birth of Him who fulfills every good promise and answers every human question, my Savior, Jesus. Amen. So we'll take this break, and then we'll be back.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back to Amplify, where our guest is Ken Ogorek, who has written a book together with Scott Hahn, not only one, but three, eventually will be available, this one's titled Breaking the Bread, a biblical devotional, and I've asked him to just pick different Sundays. Order of readings is the same over a three-year cycle, but of course it changes in terms of interpretation and meaning in so many ways, especially in terms of what's going on in the world, what's going on in our own personal life. Going from there then, Ken, where would you like to go next?
Well, just... Before the break, there was an opportunity for the reader to really think about and reflect on what virtue is. And,
yes.
And again, this is a catechetical resource. So we're going to clarify some terms and definitions that just sort of help us have that common vocabulary of faith. And that one's really important to me. You know, we hear about values all the time. You know, it's good to have values. We should have good values. But as I point out, in that brief passage that you just read before the break, value is sort of a neutral term, if you will. A value is just something that a person thinks is important, right? So our faith teaches us that it's better, in a sense, to focus on virtue. Virtue is an objectively good habit of thought, word, and deed. And so our faith is full of good challenges for us to grow in the various virtues, whether it's prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. I won't recite a whole laundry list of virtues here, but the point that was made earlier was, and it was kind of pointed out, I guess, in the prayer that ended that week's reflection, that we can grow in virtue through a combination of our own efforts and God's grace. So if there's a particular virtue that you feel is maybe lacking in your life, first of all, strive to grow in it using your own efforts, if you will. But let's never be afraid to ask God to help us grow in virtue in general, but also a specific virtue that we might be trying to work on. Because again, our Lord is ready, willing, and able to help us grow in virtue when we humbly ask Him for that. So that was kind of Advent, I think, that we were talking about before the break, huh, yes. Father Ron?
Yes, it was. One of the ones that I've marked off that speaks to me is Pentecost, back on page 161, especially your questions. It's titled, "Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love," which is part of the sequence for Pentecost. And you suggest, in what ways am I taught by God? What ways specifically does the Holy Spirit remind me of all that Jesus said? To me, that is so critically important. The second question is too, but it's the first one. The second one is, what venial sins have I committed against community members? By what specific actions might I help repair the effects of my venial sin? Yes, to realize we've done, said things wrong that have hurt people, and if we're able to repair them, we need to certainly make that effort. But I like the first part especially because it speaks to me. What ways am I being taught by God?
Yeah, it's funny how you focused on Pentecost, because during the break I was asking myself, oh well, gosh, you know, what additional weeks could we focus on? And I was drawn to Pentecost as well. And so yeah, the readings for that we're going to hear actually in a couple of short weeks call to mind these basic aspects of doctrinal and moral teaching, leading to these questions. Yeah, in what ways am I taught by God? What ways specifically does the Holy Spirit remind me of all that Jesus said? Father, I love to point out to people that, first of all, Jesus is who He says He is, and Jesus keeps His promises. Jesus always keeps His promises. And one promise He made was to send the Holy Spirit to keep His church free from error in her basic doctrinal and moral teaching. So really, when we read and reflect on sacred scripture, when we read and reflect on the basic doctrinal and moral teaching of His church, we are in a sense being taught by God. I mean, there are many ways that we're taught by God, of course. There are many ways that God speaks into our lives, but certainly sacred scripture, including hearing the scripture proclaimed at Mass, and really reflecting on the teaching of His church, can allow us to say with confidence that that God is reaching out to us directly to reveal himself to us and really to help guide our lives and guide us home to him eventually in heaven. The second question, again, because we want to cover every basic doctrinal and moral teaching over the course of 3 years in this biblical devotional, we have to talk a little bit about sin. And this week we're talking a little bit about venial sins, because again, not to read all the readings for this week, but we do hear in sacred scripture on Pentecost Sunday the importance of keeping God's commands, you know, keeping his word. So I love when St. John Paul II gave us the luminous mysteries of the rosary. I really thought that was kind of masterful, because it was yet another opportunity for us to reflect on the life of Christ. And I remember, you know, the third luminous mystery is Jesus proclaiming the kingdom of God. And I remember reading the document that our Holy Father wrote to accompany the addition of those mysteries to the rosary. And he specifically said, he talked about Jesus proclaiming God's kingdom as one of repentance and reconciliation, and reconciliation both with God and with neighbor. So I think this, again, Pentecost Sunday is a great opportunity to remind ourselves that the Holy Spirit, one of the many graces the Holy Spirit offers us is that spirit of repentance, really to sort of own the sins that we commit, and then to seek reconciliation with God and reconciliation with our neighbors, because our sins do hurt others. They hurt our relationship with God and they hurt our relationship with other people. So yeah, again, some of these questions are sort of, they're a little bit raw, because they do require a little bit of prayerful thought and reflection, but yeah, what venial sins have I committed against community members? By what civic actions might I help repair the effects of this venial sin? Again, repentance and reconciliation, both with God and neighbor. Those are sure signs that God's kingdom is manifesting itself in our life.
The book is so fundamental that it's very difficult for someone like me to decide which parts I would like to deal with, because it's almost like you could go anywhere, because I have so much underlined in the books. Well, every chapter, of course, is in some way. But do you have one you'd like to talk about first of all?
Well, I'm finding myself again. I'm scrolling here, but I think that. I'm glad we talked about Pentecost, because it was a reminder that Easter isn't just a Sunday, it's a season, you know?
Right.
And Pentecost marks the close, if you will, of that beautiful season of Easter. But then we enter into the second stretch, if you will, of ordinary time. And it's so beautiful how the church lays out the life of Christ for us, you know, in each of the three years of Sunday readings. And of course, each year focuses more so on one of the three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. So I'm finding myself wanting to scroll ahead to the end of the liturgical year, and some of those readings that we start to hear as Advent approaches. So I'm scrolling here. and you're turning pages. Probably.
Oh, I know where I'm going to go. Yeah.
Go ahead, please do. I'll catch up with you.
Okay, well, there's two places. One is the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It begins on page 189. It's written, when Peter correctly identifies Jesus as the Christ of God, he doesn't call him the second person of the Trinity. This phrase and others like it would come in time as our church penetrated the magnitude of just who Jesus is. Eventually, we came to articulate that Jesus is fully God and fully man simultaneously. This is a mystery in every positive sense of the word, a mystery leading to our salvation from sin and death. And now you need to know that I've moved a while ago from what it is that Ken has written to the questions that you have posed. So I'm going to the questions. What is my cross today? How might I best follow Jesus while carrying this cross? So to me, that's so critical because we're all virtually suffering in some way. We're facing a world that is in turmoil in many ways.
Yeah, you know, Jesus in some ways, by worldly standards, wasn't a great advertising man. You know, what sort of person says, hey, join us, be my disciple, and I guarantee you, you're going to have crosses, you're going to have suffering, right? At first, that wouldn't seem like a very attractive sales pitch, if you will. And yet we know, of course, Jesus has literally has millions upon millions of disciples, even as we speak. And yes, each of us has crosses. It's interesting, you know, I've had the opportunity to study different religions, if you will, different religions that are popular in different parts of the world. And you know, the first noble truth, if you will, of Buddhism is that all life involves suffering. Well, you know, that's sort of stating the obvious. We all have crosses to bear, but it's Jesus who, in a sense, helps us make sense of that suffering. We can make our suffering redemptive. So yes, what is my cross today? And how might I best follow Jesus while carrying this cross? So it isn't that following Jesus is going to relieve us of crosses, right? We're still going to have crosses to bear, but we can in a sense put that experience in perspective, unite our suffering to that of Jesus, so that it takes on a redemptive quality. It's still suffering. But it's infused with a meaning that allows us to, as we heard actually today at Mass, really to experience a peace that the world can't give. Only Jesus can give it to us. And interestingly, and thankfully, I should say, oftentimes he gives us that peace in the midst of carrying a cross.
Mm. Next week, I'm going to be talking, with Mike Aquilina, who you may remember. He was may have been the editor of the newspaper back then, but nevertheless, he has written a lot of things, and he's written about the Pope, by Pope Leo. Have you picked up anything from Pope Leo, from just the little things he said or done, that you might see a theme emerging?
You know, it's funny you should ask that. I'm kind of waiting. I'm sort of waiting until the smoke clears and the dust settles a little bit.
Sure.
I don't mean to sound negative at all. I've lived through a couple of new popes in my life, and it seems like at the very beginning there's just this flurry of activity. And again, none of it's bad. I'm not meaning to sound negative about it, but I kind of want to give myself time. Just to read several of his sort of Wednesday catecheses, if you will, just to kind of start to look for patterns and areas of emphasis. So I'm giving it a little bit of time yet.
Oh yeah, I could certainly understand that. My attention was drawn to the fact that he selected, you know, Leo the 13th. And had a couple things to say about him. And you go back and see who Leo the 13th was, and then you begin to wonder. But we're talking about your book tonight. Let me get one more of mine, and then I want to get back to you.
Okay.
And that is the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I I had formerly selected 15 because 15 is quote unquote kind of like my number because I was born on July 15th, and it was always been a joke that 15 would be my number. But the question that you have raised, and I'm looking, we're only going to have a couple of minutes practically to answer, but before we need to take another break. But let me draw this out then just a little bit. Your questions is under the title of See John 6, 63, common area 68. Your words, Lord, are spirit and life. You have the words of everlasting life. And you raise the question, I am made in the image and likeness of the holy and living God. What does that mean for my life? And that's the kind of question that I thought that probably Pope Leo is asking, that indeed very much a theologian, he would certainly say, I'm made in the image and likeness of the holy and living God. And then having been elected, he's probably was asking that very question. What does that mean for my life?
So we have a half a minute or so before break, Father?
Yes, just about a minute.
Okay. Yeah. There's a lot to reflect on here, of course. The very fact that we have freedom, that we have a will, even though that can cause conflict among us sometimes, the very fact that we have a will, that's a blessing, that's a gift, that's one of the things that makes us godlike, okay, or in the image and likeness of God. I guess I'll say that quickly before the break, a corollary to this is. And my own bishop, Charles Thompson, says this quite a bit. We're very tempted oftentimes to create God in our image and likeness, right? We invent a God who just so happens to agree with how we vote and how we spend our money, you know, and so on and so forth. So I do think it's important to remind ourselves that, you know, we don't make God in our image and likeness. He makes us in his image and likeness. So again, as we get to know him more deeply throughout our life, what does that tell us about ourselves?
Right, and you suggest, pray that I acknowledge Jesus in the eyes of each person I encounter, especially those most in need. May the Holy Eucharist strengthen me for service, for God's glory, and for the salvation of souls. So there's a lot to reflect on there, but we'll take this break and then we'll be back.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed-sponsored jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed-sponsored jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome back to the final segment of Amplify with Ken Ogorek, who with Scott Hahn wrote a book titled Breaking the Bread, a biblical devotional. What I'm looking at, Ken, is a 29th Sunday in Ordinary. Oh wait, did we finish? Did I give you enough opportunity to finish what you wanted to say?
Yeah, I think so, Father. And it's so interesting and maybe providential. But again, as I was flipping through and scrolling, I lit on the 29th Sunday as well. Very quickly though, I just wanted to say, if you don't mind, you mentioned Mike Aquilina earlier.
Yes.
So Mike, I think I might've mentioned that. Well, yeah. Okay. So Mike is a mutual friend, of mine and Scott Hahn's. And yes. Really, I have to, you know, Mike's a wonderful, wonderful man, as you know. And really in some ways he's at least partly responsible for this collaborative project, with Scott and I really, really coming to fruition. So yeah, Mike brought to Scott's attention some of the work that I was doing to correlate the three-year Sunday, the three-year cycle of Sunday readings to sort of an objectively comprehensive and systematic, albeit basic overview of our Catholic faith. And yeah, one thing leads to another. So yeah, I just wanted to mention that again, I do remember Mike and I know him very well. And he's just a wonderful man.
Yeah. He's my most frequent guest. and writes voraciously. Your choice.
Yeah, let's look at the 29th.
Go ahead.
The 29th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Again, this is projecting us into the autumn of this year. And by the way, we are in a jubilee year of hope. I'll refer to that in a moment. But this is the gospel reading. I won't read the whole thing, but it's a line that really jumps out to a lot of people, because Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith on earth? You know, which is a thought-provoking question in and of itself. So the teaching part of this week's, the 29th Sunday of Ordinary Time Year C's reflection, it says the faith that is found on our earth helps us see clearly, interpret accurately, and penetrate life's mysteries. One such mystery is our church, spiritual yet visible as well, divine as well as human. So it's an opportunity to, this week is an opportunity to reflect on the reality of the church on earth, and then that virtue of faith. It goes on to say, faith also joins the other theological virtues, specifically hope and charity, as well as our church's liturgy and God's word as sources of what Jesus tells us so very much needed, and that is prayer. Such rich sources help keep us from growing weary as we answer Jesus' call to pray always. So, and I like the way you're focusing on the discussion and really reflection and discussion questions. So the first one here, again, just sort of for myself, if you will, a little bit more personal. What role do faith, hope, and charity currently play in my life? How might these virtues become more noticeable in me? So a great opportunity to reflect on those three theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity. I've had an opportunity to lead a couple parish missions this year, Father. And in both cases, not surprisingly, the theme that was given to me was hope, right? Because this is a jubilee year of hope. Anytime we get an opportunity to reflect on those virtues of faith, hope, and charity, and again, where there's room for growth, I guess, in our lives in those areas. And as I mentioned earlier, especially the theological virtues, those are ones that we can strive to grow in those, but the theological virtues especially are really, really special gifts from God. And really, I think the word beg here is okay to use, you know, to beg our loving Father in prayer to help us, to give us stronger faith, to give us greater hope, to give us more fervent charity and love of our neighbor, always important for us in our life of faith. And then the second question, not surprisingly, because it focuses a little bit more on the communal aspect of our faith, it says here, some in my community might deny the validity of the visible hierarchical church, our church's human component. How can I help these individuals or groups come to understand and appreciate the twofold mystery that is God's holy church, the mystical body of Jesus? The church has certainly been in the news a lot recently, as you mentioned, because of the death of our Holy Father Francis, and now the election of our new Pope, Leo the 14th. It's a great opportunity to acknowledge that our church certainly isn't perfect in the behavior of her individual members. But as I said earlier, Jesus is who he says he is, and Jesus always keeps his promises. And he didn't promise that no church member, even a church leader occasionally, wouldn't make a boneheaded decision or behave in a questionable way. But he does give us that assurance that the church is a reliable source of guidance and teaching for us. I love the famous catechism that Cardinal Worrell co-authored with the Lawler brothers, teaching of Christ, right? The teaching of the church is the teaching of Christ. We can be confident in it. And I find that personally to be a great consolation.
And it's your time. You have anything else you'd like to raise at this point?
No, I was just pausing there. I only took one breath there for the last minute, so I was
okay.
I was just pausing briefly.
Let's go back towards the end of the year, not of the cycle, and that would be the 33rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, begins back on page 294, and Ken writes it. It is the age between our Lord's first coming and his last. We live in the new world begun by his life, death, resurrection, ascension, and the sending of his spirit upon the church. But we await the day when he will come again in glory. We must be bold when dealing with forces and authorities hostile to God. So it's so important for us to make reading, reflecting on, and applying the Gospels a central part of our life. That's what we've been trying to do all night long. So important for us to make reading, reflecting on, and applying the Gospels a central part of our life. And then the question that you raise under the quote from Luke, "Stand erect and raise your heads because your redemption is at hand," you ask, in what ways might I be persecuted due to my friendship with Jesus? And then this part, how can I best persevere in the faith? And this book could be a part of the answer to that question.
For sure, yeah. It's kind of a cliche, but we hear sometimes that something is a marathon and not a sprint. And certainly our life of faith in many ways is a marathon like experience. You know, it requires perseverance. I like to point out, when I'm teaching people about prayer, that, sometimes very holy people experience, dry spells. They experience just a downturn in their prayer life, not in their desire and effort to pray. But there's just a dryness that can sometimes be a part of prayer. And I sometimes jokingly say this usually happens to very holy people, so I don't have to worry about it very much. But so often that the need for perseverance, I think, is one that we need to remind ourselves of. I know that, it's funny, St. Teresa of Calcutta has a lot of quotes attributed to her, and this is a quote I think I've heard from other saints one way or another as well. But St. Teresa of Calcutta supposedly said something along the lines of, "God doesn't ask us to be successful, only faithful, right? To persevere. Sometimes our efforts are going to bear good and beautiful fruit that God will bless us with the opportunity to see, but other times." Again, going back to one of our other questions, you know, what is our role in the church? It's not always all of our roles to sort of see great results from our efforts, whether it's teaching or administration or what have you. We just need to persevere. What is God asking us to do today? And it might not bear fruit, for weeks or years, who knows, but that's not what God is, you know, again, God isn't asking us to see immediate results of our walk with him. We just need to persevere.
And going back then to where we began, to the sixth Sunday of Easter, which today is, and I had read about that today's liturgy gives a profound meditation. The church is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. The liturgy's message today is that the church is the Lord's, watched over and guarded by the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father in the name of the Son. It should fill us with confidence, free us to worship with exultations, and inspire us to rededicate our lives to his name. In the church, we are called to love Jesus through our keeping of his word, ever rejoicing that he and the Father in the Spirit have made their dwelling with us. The Holy Spirit has a major role to play in Christians, in each Christian's life, as well as the life of the church. Strengthened by the Holy Spirit, our hearts are free to move beyond fear and trouble. We can experience peace beyond all worldly definitions. So this is how we began the program. And then your question again is under the title, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, says the Lord, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him." The two questions that you raise again are taking a look at my life, what seems to be my gifts and charisms, how might I encourage others to develop their own gifts and charisms? Answer that question, if you can, once again for me.
Well, I say in humility that I know I have to have at least one charism, because every baptized person has at least one. For me, I actually think writing might be a charism. It comes pretty easily to me, at least up to this point in my life. You know, God might have other plans in the future, but I do enjoy writing, and it's been a blessing to work on this project. I write a lot for my job, as you might imagine, Father Ron. So thank God that writing does come easily to me, and I try to use that gift, you know, in service of God's people. And really, more and more in recent years, especially the work that I do for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and I'm sort of involved with broader efforts. I like to collaborate with my counterparts from other dioceses as well. But there really is, I think, a growing awareness among Catholics of the importance of acknowledging our charisms, you know, and discerning our charisms so that we can, in a sense, maximize their use for building up God's people. Father, I have to say, as you were reading that reflection, two things. Number one, it reminded me of the story we hear about Pope St. John the 23rd. And again, you've heard this before, that oftentimes at the end of a long, hard day, his prayer would basically be, "Lord, I've worked hard today. I had a lot of meetings, you know, I had a lot of conversations. I gave it my best, but it's your church, Lord, I'm going to bed," right? And I think in a way, what you just read, we can kind of apply that to our lives in a sense, and that peace that our Lord gives us. You know, every night, you know, God willing, each of us can pray, you know, "Lord, I gave it my all today. I tried to live your word. I tried to reflect your love to people. And yes, I have crosses to bear, and I have some worries and I have some anxieties because I'm human. But you know what? I've given my life to you. So it's your life, Lord. My life is in your hands. I'm going to bed."
Yes. Right. And sooner or later, we have to think about ourselves. You raised the question, when have I been Martha? When have I been Mary? When have I spoken like Jesus in the gospel passage? Is God serving me, calling me to serve my parish community? So there are many ways in which we can carry out our vocation, aren't there?
Certainly. And yes, there are a lot of ways we can serve in our parish community. I think more and more we're realizing that one of the best ways we can be of help and service to our parish is just to be that person of invitation. Again, there are so many people in our neighborhoods, in the communities that surround our parishes. They don't have a church home. They may be a little lost or wandering or confused, and maybe we're that person who can invite them, you know, to consider, you know, coming to an event of some sort at the parish. Maybe not bringing them to Mass right away, although that's a wonderful thing to do, of course, but really to help them experience the love of Jesus in the context of that parish community, and maybe by God's grace, help that parish family continue to grow.
And I have so many places yet that I still could go, and trying to connect them all, you know, together. And this is from a part of Scott's quote, page 216. He writes, "Our Father gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit himself offers us seven gifts. These gifts are available to all who seek his help." I'm going to say that again. His gifts are available to all who seek his help. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit bestowed upon Christians, this is from the Catechism of the Catholic Church, are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Jesus chooses his words very carefully. He who proclaims the good news summarizes it in the form of a prayer, the Lord's Prayer, and again from the Catechism, quote, "The Lord's Prayer is truly the summary of the whole gospel, the most perfect of prayers. It is at the center of scriptures. And the question that you ask is, what's the difference between wisdom and knowledge?"
Wow, what an important distinction to make. One way that question manifests itself in my life is what's the difference between what I can do and what I should do? You know, we have so much knowledge nowadays, so much know-how, if you will, but how do we decide what sorts of behaviors we should pursue and what sorts of behaviors we should avoid? So I think wisdom, yes, wisdom helps us see with the eyes of Christ, think with the mind of Christ, love with the heart of Christ, and again, allow ourselves to be guided by the Holy Spirit in our daily life. And you know, in the Lord's Prayer, we pray for our daily bread, and maybe that's part of the reason why we decided to call this devotional Breaking the Bread. Just hoping that every day, certainly once a week, that we immerse ourselves in God's word. And again, as I said earlier, hopefully we hear our Lord at least occasionally speaking to us in a direct and personal way, and feeding us like no one else can, and once more giving us the peace that only Jesus can give us.
And this is your prayer in this chapter. "Jesus, sometimes I struggle to pray. Please protect me from frustration and discouragement when prayer doesn't come easy. Help me remember that you're always at my side, eager to hear my thoughts and feelings, ready to comfort me amidst any struggle. Jesus, I love you and I trust you. Amen." A good way to close the program. Our guest this evening has been Ken Ogor. Ken, thank you so very much. Thank you for your part in writing this book.
The gratitude is all mine. Thank you, Father Ron.
All right. Good night and blessings on you and your loved ones.
Same to you. Thanks, Father.
So I'm reading from the book once again. They write, "On the day of his resurrection, Jesus walked with two disciples from Jesus to the village of Emmaus. It was the immediate aftermath of the great festival of the Jewish year, a pilgrim feast that drew all Hebrew males to the holy city. Yet the disciples were sad and confused. Then Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He began with Moses and with all the prophets and continued through the other books. Afterward, the disciples' hearts were burning with joy and an eagerness to spread the word. Later that day, Jesus encountered the apostles and told them about this fulfillment of everything written about him in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Our current moment brings us back to that great moment in the history of catechesis, the revised lectionary and the comprehensively biblical catechism make possible the kind of instruction Jesus himself gave on that first Easter Sunday. So may we share the faith we have received, and so may our hearers respond with burning hearts and zeal for evangelization. Don't forget then how precious life is and how powerful love is. Tell someone now that you love him or her. Pray for peace as if it depended on you alone. And come back next Sunday and amplify with us.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.